WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. People camped out overnight hoping to get a good seat for the oral arguments that are going on today before the Supreme Court. Justices are deciding on the constitutionality of President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. The president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, is in Beijing on a three-day state visit being closely watched for hints about China's possible support for the war in Ukraine. ABC's Tom Rivers is at the foreign desk.
China claims neutrality in the conflict, but U.S. officials have warned recently, Beijing's considering sending military assistance to Russia. Such a move would greatly escalate what's already a proxy confrontation. For Lukashenko, his government has strongly backed Moscow and allowed its territory to be used as a staging ground for Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine a year ago.
The head of the EPA is going back to East Palestine, Ohio today, as the state EPA chief insists water in the city is safe after this month's train derailment and chemical spill. This is ABC News. Consumers across the country not quite as confident this month. The Conference Board saying its consumer confidence index slipped compared to January, dragged down by expectations among many Americans that a recession may be looming in the next 6 months. About 30 million Americans facing cuts in federal help to buy food. Expanded benefits under the SNAP program put in place during the pandemic officially run out today. And the only zoo in Puerto Rico closing for good.
The Dr. Juan A. Rivero Zoo had already been closed due to damage from Hurricanes Irma and Maria in 2017, but now the closure will be permanent. The island territory's government shutting it down after activists complained of alleged negligence, a lack of resources, and deaths among the zoo's 300 animals. Caretakers from a Colorado sanctuary have been brought in to inspect, evaluate, and transfer the surviving animals to the U.S. mainland. Activists are celebrating the closure while vowing to hold zoo officials responsible for the zoo's deterioration. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe.
What do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comments where he said if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone. Wow, what a profile and courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.,
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Must remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Must remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
You know, the party of freedom. At it again.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. It is Tuesday. It is not raining anymore. We are very excited about that. I am recording from home today, which is very exciting because I'm going to hand the reins over later today to not just one, but two female radio legends. Not only is Jane Matinair going to take over for me at 12, but she is going to be joined by Miss Carol Kane.
The one and only.
Are you guys excited about that?
Yeah, we
the
really
one
are.
And only.
The one and only. We've been friends a really long time. We were competitors for a really long time. And now we get the chance to work together, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And so what are you two going to be talking about once I have to head out at noon?
We're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk to Carol Deptola, who was the dining critic, restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the last 15 years. And she just announced that she is retiring.
Yeah.
So she's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour from 106 to about 120 and talk about some of the magnificent things she's discovered and the best restaurants and some of the best stories that she's uncovered and what she's planning to do next. And also in the 1 o'clock hour, somebody came out with a list of the five greatest rock bands of all time. They narrowed it down to five.
That sounds like, remember, I think last month Rolling Stone tried to name the 200 top singers of all time, and there was a lot of anger about some people who did not make that list.
Oh, I bet. So, yeah, we're going to take some calls and some texts about whether or not this list is accurate and who they missed out on.
Who made the list?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, tease.
You'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, thank you to Carol. Thank you to you. I have to go to an appointment that could not be moved. It did not care that I have a radio show every day. And so I have to go do that. But we're still going to have fun this hour with some big topics. But it's the last day of February.
Yeah.
And so I thought it might be fun to start doing like fun, short facts at the start of each show. And sometimes it might be to do with the observance of that day, some random thing. But today, do you know why there's only 28 days in February?
I assume it's something about syncing up the calendar.
So I guess it's because of Roman superstitions.
Really?
Ancient Roman superstitions. Yeah. So I may not pronounce this right, but Roman king Numa Pompilius tweaked the calendar to sync it with the lunar year, and that included changing every month to 29 days because even numbers were unlucky at that time. One month, though, needed to have an even number of days, and February was selected since it was when the Romans held rituals for the dead.
Oh, that's cheery.
So it was like already, I guess, potentially an unlucky month. So they were like, well,
what's
we'll
it
make
hurt?
This one. We'll make this one the even one. Ah. And so February was dropped down to 28 days instead of 29. And despite numerous changes to the calendar over the years, obviously we now have 30 and 31 days instead of 29 in the other months of the year. February stuck to 28.
That's really odd. And don't you
really odd?
Yeah. And don't you feel badly for the, I think they're called leaplings. The people who actually have their the birthday on the 29th. I mean, you're what a robbery. I always felt
just like, what do you think they, what would you opt for, to celebrate on the 28th or the March 1st?
I would do the 28th if it were me.
Why?
I don't know. it's not like it makes a difference as far as your horoscope is concerned.
Yeah. What do you fall? What are you? If you're, do you get a, do you get an astrological sign if you're born on February 29th?
No, leaplings.
Or is that the perk of being a leapling, is that you just like, you don't ever have to have a sign. And so you get to avoid all of those conversations entirely.
These horoscopes don't apply to you.
All right. Well, in the next segment at the bottom of the hour, I want to have a conversation about the difference between startups and small businesses.
Okay.
Because I feel like sometimes they get used interchangeably, especially in this story that came out this week, that there's going to be $80 million from ARPA funds to small businesses. That's what the headline reads.
Okay.
But when you read it, a lot of that is going to startups. And I think it's important to have a conversation about what the differences between those two things are. And not that either is, both are good, but I think it also brings up the conversation of like, who gets economic development support in our state? So that's going to happen at 11:30. But to start, for the ticked off tee off, it's not, what I'm ticked off about is not necessarily the topic. It's a conversation I had regarding the topic prior to today's show. So the topic at hand is what I'm sure a lot of shows are going to be talking today, and it is the deposition of Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a month ago. The actual deposition was a month ago, but news broke yesterday, similarly to how messages broke last week as far as this Dominion case and this ongoing lawsuit that Dominion has against Fox News as far as defamation. And what's coming to light is that Fox, from Rupert Murdoch to the different hosts, to producers, knew that they were endorsing a lie. And so yesterday's news broke, and basically the headline is, Murdoch acknowledges Fox News host endorsed election fraud falsehoods. Just as a reminder, Rupert Murdoch is the chairman of Fox Corporation. So he acknowledged in a deposition taken by Dominion Voting Systems that some Fox News hosts endorsed false claims that the 2020 election was stolen. His remarks were made in a public in a legal filing as part of Dominion's $1.6 billion lawsuit. And in his deposition, Murdoch rejected that the right-wing talk network has, as an entity, endorsed former President Donald Trump's election lies, but conceded that Sean Hannity, Jeanine Pirro, former host Lou Dobbs promoted the falsehood about the presidential contest being stolen. His quote was, some of our commentators were endorsing it. But according to the filing, when asked about the talk hosts' on-air positions about the election, I would have liked us to have been stronger in denouncing it in hindsight. Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, right.
And the filing also revealed that Murdoch referred to some of Trump's 2020 election lies as, can't say it on air, but bull poop and damaging. And so, you know, and then there was some stuff about Jared Kushner, and it's just mounting evidence that here's a very powerful media company that was kind of in bed with Trump's campaign.
Yep.
And so that is enough to get upset about Or maybe you're gleeful about it because you're like, this is the gotcha moment. They're going to get sued and Dominion's going to win. And for so many people who I think are on our side of the aisle, you know, there is glimmers of that there's going to be accountability for Fox's role in all of this. And now I get to my conversation.
All right.
So I've talked about this friend before, but I have a friend who sees the world differently than I do. And even as of yesterday, was talking to me about how he's so disappointed that the mainstream media has not made a bigger deal about the Twitter files. And all the, because he was upset that with the Energy Department report that came out saying that with low confidence.
Very low confidence.
With very low confidence, there it may have been a lab leak. He sends that to me. And I kind of say, okay, so what? And he points out that at one point, people got kicked off of Twitter for even acknowledging that it may be a lab leak. And I go, who got kicked off? Trying to ask for specifics. And then he said something about wishing the Twitter files like were covered more in mainstream media. And then I sent him a bunch of articles saying, well, here's a lot of coverage about it. He goes, well, I wish it was on the Today Show because it's apparently that's all that matters. And he's referencing his mother, which I understand this because I also have a mother who listens, who gets a lot of her news from Good Morning America. And I was like, this is never going to be on the Today Show, man. And so in turn, I wake up this morning and send him this article to get his response.
Sure.
And his response was basically whataboutism. And talked about Hillary Clinton denying the election results, talked about Stacey Abrams denying her election results, and basically the sum of it being both sides do this.
That's not true.
And so he doesn't care about this Dominion case. And I got so frustrated that I just deleted the entire conversation. And I want to talk about it now because in having these conversations or attempting to have these conversations with people who we don't always agree with, instead of having the conversation in the echo chamber, how do you even approach that? How do you rebut that, right? When the response you get is both sides do this, you can't convince me that this is any worse than the Mueller report and all of the money and time and energy we spent on that and the Steele dossier. And he just threw out all of these things in the Trump era of trying to discredit him and say that there was Russian collusion and all of this stuff. And it just got frustrating because it feels to me like false equivalence, right? But do you just disengage the conversation then and just end it? Do you continue to talk? And so that's my question to the audience. How do you talk about this stuff with conservative friends who don't care about this development, who think it's as bad as past things with Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams? Where do you take the conversation in a productive way? Or is this just an example where you say, I guess we're just not going to talk about this.
I give up.
So give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Sometimes they don't tell the truth.
Hey, this is Matt.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are spinning the Rupert Murdoch story headline of him admitting in a deposition that certain Fox News hosts endorsed Trump's fraudulent claim that the election was stolen.
Even though they knew that was a lie.
And less trying to break down what was said in the deposition, but more as this Dominion case develops and there is more incriminating evidence about Fox and their role in all of this. When you talk to friends who just don't think it's a big deal and don't think it's a big deal because both sides do it. And because I had that conversation this morning. And it was funny because he did. I mean, we're fine, but he texted me back. He's like, I just want to show for the record that you texted me this morning, because he's usually the one texting me with something to rile me up about. But because I think I reacted and I was really, I got pretty frustrated and emotional about it, because it just felt like he was moving the goalposts every time. He was like, well, what did the Mueller article even find, or the investigation even find? And I showed him information.
Weren't there 10 instances of obstruction?
And that's what I said. I was like, there was obstruction of justice. There was, like, while there was not necessarily collusion, there was definite Russian attempts to mess with the election. So I copied and pasted all of that. And so it was one of those things, and like, he just kept changing what I had just refuted. And so my question to the audience is, in the attempt to engage with people that you don't agree with, and this is different than policy, but like, how do you do it? And so we got one on the live stream, but Jane, you said we had a text as well.
We do, from the 262, shutting him down. That's how you have to handle people like that. They are not retrievable. Brain is long gone. I know I have them in my own family. And then another text, also from the 262. I think almost everyone gets to the point in a disagreement where it becomes personal for them. Emotion takes over and doesn't allow for clear reasoning. Unfortunately, conservatives think protecting Fox News is worth the fight. Most progressives are interested in substantial things like preserving the rights of the LGBTQ community and women's autonomy.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And we also have something on a comment on the live stream from Joseph McClear. How do you talk about it? calmly or not at all. Don't expect the other side to have any aha moment after a short conversation, especially, I'll add this part, probably over text. State the facts, state your reason. If they don't budge, you've done what you can. It's a sad but documented truth that people often respond to factual challenges to their beliefs by becoming even more convinced that they are correct.
That's a really good point.
It's a really good point. And I'm usually pretty good at that. And I think that's the moment where you just walk away from the conversation and or change the subject and just say, okay, because I'm not, it became very clear that I was not going to, there wasn't enough refuting or trying to explain. Because then you get into the straw man arguments and you fall into the trying to explain why it's different.
Right.
Why Hillary Clinton and what she said is different than what Trump did. Why Stacey Abrams not accepting the results because of voter suppression is different than election denying and saying it was stolen because of, you know, of computers and algorithms. And so it felt like I just wanted him to concede that this is a big deal. And he didn't necessarily say that it's not a big deal. He just said he doesn't care because he feels like both sides do it. And that for the mainstream media outside of Fox, they just call it reporting. And so I just thought it was interesting because it's such a reinforcement to just talk to people who agree with you.
It is important.
Right? Because I knew you and I would talk about this and we probably have a very similar feeling about it, right? And I'm sure if we talked about this with a lot of other shows on this network and other hosts on this network, they're probably having a similar, like, gotcha, this shows it, what they did was wrong. And that's fine to keep talking about that amongst ourselves, but is there anything that can break through the barrier to try to talk to people who just don't see it like this?
Well, I think we need to find a cult deprogrammer, because honestly, can you imagine the outrage if, say, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow had been sending direct texts to then President Barack Obama on some policy things or things? Think about the number of Fox hosts, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, who were texting then President Trump the day of the insurrection, telling him to get them to knock it off. There is nothing comparable on the other side. There's not.
No.
There's not.
I know.
There's no smoking gun that says that MSNBC knew what they were reporting was a lie, but they did it for money because their audience was going somewhere else. And that's what this Rupert testimony does.
See, we know where Jane stands on this.
If I'm being unclear, I will take some more time.
No. I think you are being clear. And it's interesting to think in the bigger picture of the case that is being built and if this really is a winnable case for Dominion. But it doesn't help us in our actual interpersonal relationships of the best way to have these conversations. And I feel like the best way is basically what we saw from Joseph McClear's comment, which is calmly or not at all.
Yeah, definitely. You resort to insults and you resort to curse words and you've lost. You've lost your argument.
Exactly. All right. Well, when we come back, the difference between small businesses and startups and supporting both and why that looks a little different. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
WAU.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. People camped out overnight hoping to get a good seat for the oral arguments that are going on today before the Supreme Court. Justices are deciding on the constitutionality of President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. The president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, is in Beijing on a three-day state visit being closely watched for hints about China's possible support for the war in Ukraine. ABC's Tom Rivers is at the foreign desk.
China claims neutrality in the conflict, but U.S. officials have warned recently
friendly, then Beijing's considering sending military assistance to Russia. Such a move would greatly escalate what's already a proxy confrontation. For Lukashenko, his government has strongly backed Moscow and allowed its territory to be used as a staging ground for Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine a year ago.
The head of the EPA is going back to East Palestine, Ohio today, as the state EPA chief insists water in the city is safe after this month's train derailment and chemical spill. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We would love to get your opinion on our next topic, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. So what is the difference between a startup and a small business? Jane, what would you think the difference between those two things are?
Well, I would think that one of the criteria would be the number of employees.
I don't think that's it.
It's not.
Well, because a startup has to start. So what would you think? What would you think that the number of employees would mean?
Well, to me, a small
one or the other.
To me, a small business is like, I don't know, 100 people or less.
Okay.
Because I always imagine startups, even though they're a startup with thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are making a whole lot more money than me.
I'm so glad I asked you because I feel like that's an interesting starting point of what your assumption startups are.
And I don't know why, because I assume that they're all tech companies too, and that's not necessarily
That's true, not, yeah. Right? It's also interesting because I'm pretty sure Instagram was only like 12 people when it was sold to Facebook for like whatever billions of dollars.
Wow.
And so startups can be 4 people.
Okay.
And so having worked in startups, what I understand startups to be is the growth intent, right? And so a startup is looking to expand, in my opinion, and I think other places would cite this as well, is a startup is looking to expand quickly and become a much bigger company,
right?
Like you said, with like thousands of people, while a small business is more focused on creating and maintaining a constant and stable revenue stream. And they're not necessarily trying to scale, right?
Right, to be a monster.
Like a corner restaurant is a small business.
A bodega.
Daycare. A bodega. The places where there is not a bigger plan to become a massive corporation is what I think of as a small business. And so when we talk about small businesses, it feels different than startups, despite both having, there's definitely startups that have less than 50 employees when they're first starting, right? And especially when they're looking for initial investment, angel funding, et cetera. And so, you know, you think about growth intent, like how fast, how much they're looking to grow, business objectives, as far as, I feel like startups are typically trying to disrupt an industry. They're trying to like approach a business problem in a different way that makes them a very valuable high growth idea versus a small business, not necessarily trying to reinvent the wheel, just trying to serve a specific market that may not be being served yet. And also like end goals, startups, I think, typically have an exit strategy of going public, like getting so big and profitable that they go public, or at least, you know, are bought by a bigger company.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You want to get purchased by Meta or someone like that. You want a monster.
Yeah.
You want a monster to buy you.
But like in the VCs that invest in you also want you to have an exit strategy because that is their payday. Versus a small business, if it's a family business, you pass it on to, if it's like your family insurance company, you pass it on to your kid. Or and also you could get bought by an interested buyer, but it's not the same
goal
numbers that we see that with startups. So why do I bring all this up and try to differentiate the two? Because I feel like these two different headlines that are talking, they're reporting on the same story, are a little misleading. So one was from WPR, and these are two outlets that I love when I work for. But it's just when you read the article, this is sometimes why it's important to read the article. So WPR, their headline is Wisconsin small businesses get boost in federal funds. And Milwaukee Journal Sentinels says Wisconsin to receive $79.1 million in federal funding to support small businesses. So when you read it, though, the state is getting nearly $80 million to support startups and small businesses.
Right.
And the money's coming from federal state small business credit initiative, which is through the American Rescue Plan Act. But $50 million of it is going to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as the WEDC, which plans to create a new Wisconsin investment fund. Are you following so far?
So far. I have a little diagram.
So basically,
I have a little diagram going here.
I know. So the WEDC is starting a new fund called the Wisconsin Investment Fund. And it's of, you know, 2/3 basically of the money that is coming from this, from ARPA, is going to this fund.
Okay.
And the goal of the fund is to partner with other venture capital funds in the state that are investing in Wisconsin-based startups.
Not small businesses.
Not small businesses. So the Wisconsin Investment Fund will work with VC fund managers. Leaning on the expertise of these managers, the Wisconsin Investment Fund will select companies for investment and then match these companies' own private investments on at least a one-to-one basis. Which is different because when you think about venture capitalists, they are investing in things that they want to see a return on investment in. And so this talks about startups and high growth companies And there are, I mean, I was actually, as I started reading more about this, I think I wasn't necessarily aware that the growing investments and like VC capital that is in Wisconsin now, like we're behind other states, but it's been steadily growing. There, I just found out about this venture. Maybe we'll try to get someone on the show from it. But there's a VC fund up in Green Bay called Title Tech. And I was looking at their portfolio, and it looks exactly like the portfolio that I used to look at, portfolios I used to look at when I worked in Silicon Valley, as far as like the companies they've invested in all have quirky names that don't make sense. And then you click on their websites. And so like, and they're investing in agriculture and tech and all these different things. And so it's interesting because this is on top of, I don't know if you caught this, but there's $75 million in Evers budget proposal to also go to this fund. And that's different than this $80 million that we just got from ARPA.
Well, you know, the legislature is never going to approve that.
I know. And that was he, because he tried to do this in his last budget as well, and they didn't include it in theirs. But, which is kind of interesting, because there also, isn't that the party of like economic development and trying to, in like, and like, I'm not bringing this up because I don't, because I'm like, oh, it's bad to invest in startups. I think it's great to invest in startups. And I think the ability to, you know, we've been like a med tech state so far, right? We have Epic in Madison, we have Exact Sciences in Madison. And so some of our newer, bigger companies and success stories have been in like medical tech advancements. But I guess as I was reading, there's like gaming, there's obviously manufacturing innovation and stuff like that that's also getting invested in. So like, I totally am on board for the investment and trying to make, you know, trying to grow companies in Wisconsin that could be the next big thing, which then in turn gets, it's a cool new company, gets people to move here and all the different things that I've seen. You know, not only that obviously is Silicon Valley, but this happened in Austin.
Yes.
Austin's a totally different city than it was 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it's largely because of the amount of startups that were fostered and grew there. But the same, it's same thing in Nashville. Like there's different hubs that are growing. I think Boulder, Colorado is similar. And so the ability, and they're usually next to universities, not always, but sometimes, because there's research and people who come out of there who can be part of the growing culture.
Sure.
But so like I'm all for that. I just think it's disingenuous to call them the same thing. And I think it goes back to this idea of this heartstrings that get pulled when we talk about small businesses, because even if you read some of the articles that I think Business Journal covered this, WPR covered this, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covered this. And so I pulled out some of the quotes, and one from Evers was, more than 99% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses that employ nearly half of Wisconsin workers. And we know they're more likely to hire locally, buy supplies locally, and reinvest locally back into our communities. One of our focuses in recovering from the pandemic has been ensuring our small businesses receive the resources needed to thrive. We've helped fuel our economy by recovering our economic recovery by harnessing the ingenuity and homegrown talent we already have right here in Wisconsin. So it's just talking about small businesses. And then similarly, Aaron Hager, who's the vice president of entrepreneurship and innovation at WEDC, called small businesses the lifeblood of communities in Wisconsin. And so there is money that is going to small businesses.
Yes.
It's more like $15 million versus the $80 that the headline said. And so as I start, because I think yesterday I was like, oh, should we talk about this? And I was like, well, what is there interesting to say about it? But then as I really started reading it, I was like, oh, this is different. And it's like, because I feel like when I think about startups, it's an investment on sometimes a risky idea, because yes, it's usually a big idea, versus a loan to get a small business off its feet.
Well, isn't a startup, it's more of a gamble. A little bit.
Yeah. And there's, you know, and there's a lot more, and not that, you know, bars and restaurants have investors, but typically, you know, they get paid out and then they get a cut of profits as things grow. But it's different than the equity stake that VCs take in companies and right. like the million billion valuations that some of these companies get as they start to grow and like what their market cap is. And it's just like, it's different economic terms as far as the stakes, I would say. And so it just got me thinking as far as, and it, cause it's not, and the, well, the other article that was talking about had the, like the steady increase of outside VC funding that's coming into Wisconsin and how it's going to different parts. Like it's certainly has predominantly been in Madison and Milwaukee, but there's also some happening in Green Bay and like Northeast Wisconsin. But it just brings me back to thinking of like, who gets economic development support? And what do we call it? You know what I mean? And because there has been, I mean, there has been a lot of money earmarked for small businesses. Although this kind of makes me want to go back and look at were how often were small they startups and VC money that was going to go to VCs to then invest in startups called small business support. Because like when we talked to friend of the show, Sean Fetteplace, who is with Main Street Alliance, those are small businesses. That is like mom and pop shops that cost way less to get started, are, you know, are parts of their community, do provide a service, but not necessarily trying to scale to be the next Fortune 500 company.
Right.
And the type of support that they need to get started, to grow, is very different than what a VC fund is going to offer.
Definitely.
And so having, I feel like my point of all this is it's important to separate the two instead of lump them together, because ultimately they are pretty different things, even if at one time a startup is what you said, a similar size as a small business.
Well, and ultimately it's going to come down to whether the Republican-led legislature in Wisconsin wants to give anything to Governor Evers that could be perceived as a win.
Well, what do you mean?
As far as approving any additional monies, I know the federal money is coming in, but I just think it will be interesting going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there, yeah, because the one that I was talking about, that was more startup money. I think it's just more interesting to think about, like, what are the, how much of this in the programs that actually go to small businesses that feel like an investment on grocery stores and bodegas and restaurants and retail shops. So, all right, well, speaking about Evers, I thought nothing good happened after midnight, and yet we want to stay open until 4? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Jane and Carol Kane, remind us, what do you have in the noon hour?
In the noon hour, we're going to start talking about Paul Ryan.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about talking about Paul Ryan and his comments about the former president. And yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Also coming up next hour, quiet quitting and the trend and how employers are trying to fight that trend of their employees just basically saying, yep, I'm not doing that. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to play radio stations somewhere across the country, picked out the five greatest rock bands of all time, which I think are open to debate. And yeah, as you listen to the show today, I might throw in a couple bumper music songs that are from the bands that they selected, but we'll reveal all of them at 1:30.
Do you have a very strong opinion of what your top five rock bands of all time are?
I think it's an impossible task.
Yeah.
I really do. And everyone has such different tastes and different criteria. So it's not like I disagree with all of these, but there are so many good bands. How do you only pick five?
I know. Well, I will be tuning in. Thank you again for you and Carol to cover me today. But yeah, that sounds like a fun lineup of, not that I was worried. You two have been doing this for a while
We have a little experience.
You have a little experience. Just a little bit.
It'll be okay.
So classic dad quote of nothing ever good happens after midnight.
It is classic.
I don't know if it's always true, but, you know, I've lived in some places that had, I guess really only I've lived in one place. I've lived in New York, which had a bar time well past 2. And in my life, there has been times that I have still been at an establishment, not a lot, but
there have been times.
Handful of times.
Sure.
There have been times where I've still been in an establishment and you walk outside and the sun is coming up.
Oh, look. The sun shall rise tomorrow.
And I gotta be honest, on those days, didn't feel great for the next day at all. And so there was those days, especially when I was living in New York, where like there's a reason why the rest of the country, pretty much, not everywhere, Vegas, I think Chicago has some late night places that you have to have a different license to be able to go. I think Miami is open late, but so not everywhere, but most places bar time is 2. And I remember often being in New York the next day, not the night of, the next day, feeling like there's a reason why everywhere else tells you to go home. You're not in the position right now to know what's best for you. We know what's best for you. Go home.
Trust us.
But yet, Governor Tony Evers, bit of a party animal, I guess, because he is reviving a proposal to allow thousands of visitors and residents in the 14 counties to indulge in Wisconsin's favorite pastime until just about when the sun comes up during the RNC next year. And so it's randomly part of the budget.
Really?
But yeah, under a measure included in Evers' 2023-25 state budget plan, bars could stay open until 4 a.m. during mid-July 2024, when the Republican Party will host its national convention in Milwaukee. And so I guess they also, this was taken up by state lawmakers in 2020 when there was supposed to be the DNC. obviously that didn't happen. But I guess a lobbyist for the Tavern League said he expects the idea to come to law. Even if the lawmakers take this out of the budget, they'll likely pass something themselves.
Well, it's...
So this could be happening.
If the Tavern League wants it, it will happen.
That's true.
Isn't that a fair bet?
But I just thought it was funny because it's one of those things where it's funny. I don't know. I just think it's funny to think of a bunch of RNC attendees partying until 4 a.m. at like dive bars across these 14 counties.
Well, I think it's going to turn out to be just a tragic failure because what member in good standing of the Party of Family Values is going to be out at a bar until 4 o'clock in the morning? I just don't, that just doesn't.
It doesn't compute.
It doesn't compute for me. I think that would be shocking.
I mean, it's good for bars if people are actually going to be out that late. But what was also surprising to me is the 14 counties included. So it's, sorry, excuse me. Kenosha, Racine, Walworth, Rock, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Jefferson, Dane, Ozaukee, Washington, Dodge, Columbia, Sheboygan, and Fond du Lac.
Wow, they really expect people to be staying all over the place.
And I guess, is that why? Is there going to be people? Was the expectation when it was the DNC? Is that like that is the hotel accommodations and how spread out everyone's going to be in the attempt to find lodging?
I'm assuming.
Or is it just going to be a big party for that week, no matter where you are, as long as you're in one of those 14 counties? It just, you don't have to go home. For once, you can stay here. You don't have to go home.
We're not going to tell you to leave. Until 4.
Until 4 a.m. Those poor bartenders.
Seriously. And the bouncers. You've really got a feel for those people. I mean, I realize that that's their job and they're not surprised, but allowing people to stay drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning certainly can't make their jobs any easier.
No. Because that's a long shift then. Because even if you open at 9 or 10, which probably some of those parties would start at like 8, but I don't know. I mean, apparently if the Tavern League's behind this, it's an opportunity. It's 2 more hours of making money. But also I wonder how this, cause isn't there third shift bars that basically open at 4?
I don't know that there are anymore. There used to be. I mean, the National
There's still one in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, is there?
I forgot what it's called.
There used to be one
in Milwaukee.
But it's like,
it has no windows.
So it's just a cave. It's basically a cave with a bar.
It's basically, I forgot, I'll have to ask my mom what it was called, but it's, I'm pretty sure it's still open and it was specifically for third shift folks who needed a beer after the shift, but did not want to see the sunlight. And so that's where they went.
National Liquor Bar on National Avenue in Milwaukee used to, I think was that kind of place. It's no longer there.
Okay. All right. Well, that will do it for me today. I will be back tomorrow with Greg Bach. We got a fun show planned, but stick around because Jane Matinair and Carol Kane are going to take over for the rest of the show. We got to take a break for the top of the hour news, but this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stop, so pour that thing up to the top. I'm coming in hot. Hey, bartender.
You are never far.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
Well, I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.